It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. It is the morning after Tuesday night debate that will likely go down in history. Don't know if you watched it all last night. We will bring you some of the highlights this morning. But, you know, I did watch it last night, stayed up late. And I thought of a Monty Python scene somewhere along the way where one of the actors of Monty Python said, "My brain hurts." Well, that just about describes it for the way I reacted last night, and I'm sure a lot of you, if you watch this thing, the to-ing and fro-ing and the talking over, and it went on and on for over 90 minutes. It was scheduled for 90 minutes, but it went on and on. We're going to bring Sandy Rios into the Sandy Rios program in just a second, and I'm anxious to hear her analysis to it all. But just in case you didn't watch it last night, didn't listen to this debate, wanted to play you a little bit of what it sounded like for almost an hour and a half. Here's cut one.
Excuse me, I got rid of the individual mandate, which was a big chunk of Obama. That is absolutely a big thing. That was the worst part of Obamacare. Chris, that was the worst part of Obama.
Let me ask my question.
Well, I'll ask Joe. The individual mandate was the most unpopular aspect of Obamacare. I got rid of it.
I'd like you
and
to,
we will protect
Mr.
people
President,
with pre-existing
I'm the moderator
conditions.
Of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask my question, and then you can answer
Go
your
ahead.
Question. You, in the course of these 4 years, have never come up with a comprehensive plan to replace Obamacare, and just this last Thursday, you signed a largely symbolic executive order to protect people with pre-existing conditions 5 days before this debate. So my question, sir, is what is the Trump health care plan?
Right. Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him, but that's okay. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that kind of was setting the tone last night, too. It was a three-way brawl. And that's the only way I can describe it. And yeah, I want to bring Sandy Rios into the program. Sandy, welcome to your program this morning.
Hey, good morning, Fred. Thank you so much for hosting this morning. I guess I should explain it. I'm going to be in a big meeting this morning, and so that's why you're hosting for me, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, no problem at all. Did you? I know you stayed up and watched the whole thing last night.
Oh, I thought I might. Yes.
Well, your impressions.
Well, you know, I think part of let's just talk about form for a second. I think if you've never been on television, it's easy to cast stones about how the thing played out. You know, as when you're standing up there and you've got all of these things coming at you, it can be very complicated. Mm. I remember debating James Carville a number of times on television. He was a person who was not honest, and so we'd be asked a question, and his answer would have five falsehoods just delivered and rat-a-tat-tat, 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 and then I've got to respond to that. But I can't possibly. So there are so many factors going on. President Trump last night, of course, had Chris Wallace debating really many times. I think Chris's unfairness, which I anticipated, was there for everyone to see, except he was more subtle last night. I think people need to understand that he asked questions on President Trump's vulnerabilities. He guided the discussions. You know, I think, you know, he talked about health care, which is what the Democrats are hitting the president on with the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett and how he's going to take away your health care. They've also been talking about how, to their mind and to their interpretation, how badly he's handled COVID. That's what Chris Wallace asked about. He also asked about his taxes, President Trump's taxes, the New York Times report, all those areas that were hot buttons for the president. But you notice there are a lot of things that Chris did not mention, like, for instance, the Russian collusion story and the falseness and Joe Biden's involvement in that. And, in fact, we've had three major stories come out in the last week. And yesterday, one of them came out yesterday, during the day. Chris didn't even mention it. And that was the fact that the State Department recommended to the FBI, and said, I believe it was August of 2016, this is before the election even took place, that the FBI investigate the fact that Hillary Clinton was the one who fabricated the Russian collusion story in order to cover up and distract from the investigation into her illegal email server. So the FBI was asked to open an investigation. We know now that it's Hillary was orchestrating that. Not a word about that last night. And when President Trump tried to mention it, Chris interrupted him. There was nothing about Russian collusion. There was Chris did not initiate a question about Hunter Biden. It was President Trump that had to bring it up. Mm. And that is as sensitive an issue to Joe Biden as President Trump's taxes are to him. Very personal, very explosive, and he was happy to talk about the taxes, Chris Wallace, but not so happy to talk about Hunter Biden. Yeah. I felt that the exchange between President Trump and Joe Biden on that was very valuable, and even though it was messy, the president had it right, and Joe was lying when he said his son did not take $3.5 million from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow. That is a lie. Yeah. That was a lie. There were lots of lies last night.
Yeah.
It
went on and on.
It's very hard to debate with someone like that who's a liar. Yes. And yeah. That's what Joe Biden is.
Exactly. And to your point about Chris Wallace, and I find it interesting you bring that up, because as I was listening last night, I felt that at points throughout the debate that President Trump was facing two opponents. And I thought that was particularly evident when Chris Wallace, instead of asking a question to Joe Biden, what do you say about Antifa? What do you say about Black Lives Matter and the riots that they have created in Democrat-controlled cities? Wallace goes to Trump and asks him to condemn what Wallace called right-wing groups. I want to play a little bit of this and then get your reaction to it, Sandy. It's cut number five.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing
to specifically
that,
do it? Well,
I,
go
would
ahead,
say, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a
FBI director.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa is an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious. That's what his FBI director said.
Well, then,
Then we're done, sir. We're moving on to the next. We're moving
on to the next administration. That's not an idea.
Everybody
Antifa
in your administration tells you the truth has a bad idea.
Can I tell you what?
You have no ideas.
Antifa is a dangerous radical group.
All right, gentlemen, we're now moving on to the Trump and Biden records.
They'll overthrow you.
When a president, I'm going to ask a question.
There you go. There was Chris Wallace. I was absolutely amazed, because the facts are that these riots, the mob riots, are being driven, Sandy, by the far left. But Chris Wallace almost gives equivalence to the few of the groups that have shown up to oppose these left-wingers.
Oh, he was, even as bad as that, or maybe worse, Fred, the way he set this off wasn't about the violence in the streets. Chris Wallace, when he went to this topic, said, I want to talk about racism. And then he goes back and gives the example of Charlottesville. Now, Charlottesville happened, three years ago, something like that? Mm. And it is there's no way that President Trump, in the minute that he had to respond to that, can explain Charlottesville. because it's been so twisted and perverted and so taken out of context. And trust me, we have more problems regarding racism than Charlottesville 3 years ago. But Chris Wallace did that on purpose. And he didn't even mention Black Lives Matter, their manifesto.
Yeah.
Didn't give the president a chance to do that. So, yeah, that was an attack, a hit. You know, I thought one thing that occurred to me, Fred, because I heard from some friends who, you know, people honor me by wanting to know what I think about it. And many of them are Christians who are, you know, the church is their life and their cultural experience. And so they were appalled by President Trump's brawling, his name-calling. Of course, Joe Biden was as bad as the president last night in
Yes.
I think we have to be clear in case people didn't hear it. But this reminded me very much of these guys are gladiators. We are fighting for the soul of our nation. This is a fight to the death. It's not just about Donald Trump. It is about our country. It's about our families. So they're not going to, if they're not nice, it's think of a gladiator. If you're going to watch these guys that win these medals because of their combat achievements, if you were to watch them in combat, if you're a church member who's not used to that, you would say, that's not very nice when he hit him like that or shot him in that way. It's a bloody battle. And so I'm not sure it's possible to be all that nice. We're watching the sausage being made, and Donald Trump is a gladiator. He was inartful last night. I hand you that. He could have been more articulate. He could have made his points better. But in listening back, he actually landed a lot of punches that were good. Content. See, Joe Biden really showed himself last night. That's kind of the old Joe Biden that we used to know. Mm-hmm. That big smile, but sarcastic, disdainful, proud, arrogant, and a liar at every turn. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give you the list of lies, and they are lies. They're not subtle, just like with Hunter Biden. Oh, that's not true. That's not true. Of course it's true that he took money from Burisma and the mayor of... we have documentation. That's why the Senate has prepared this whole document on this. So that's just one of the many.
Yeah. So I want to go back, Sandy, to something. You just mentioned Charlottesville. In case we have folks that didn't listen to the debate last night, I want to play what Biden said about Charlottesville. It has been proven to be a lie, but he repeated it again last night, misrepresenting of what the president said about Charlottesville. It's cut number four.
The reason I got in the race is when those people, close your eyes, remember what those people look like coming out of the fields carrying torches, their veins bulging, spewing anti-Semitic bile and accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan. A young woman got killed, and they asked the president what he thought. He said there were very fine people on both sides. No president's ever said anything like that.
You call them super predators, African Americans, super predators, and they've never forgotten it. They've never forgotten it, Joe.
No, sir, it's his 2 minutes.
So you did that, and they call you a super predator, and I'm letting people out of jail now that you have treated the African American population community, you have treated the black community about as bad as anybody in this country. You did the 1990s, and that's why, if you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time, because they saw what you did. You call them super predators, and you've called them worse than that.
So there you have it. Biden last night, Sandy, that was an outright lie, an outright false depiction of what the president said.
Well, see, Joe Biden is a master at attack. He is like a pit bull. He's great at that. I mean, I think he did a great job attacking the president last night. But he is not tethered to reality or truth. He never has been. And when it comes to the actual substance of issues, he can't do that. You might notice that last night when they were talking about the Green New Deal, Chris Wallace, in his questions, laid out Joe's plan, the Green New Deal. He laid it out. He gave the bullet points and then asked Joe a softball question. Because Joe can't reiterate all those points.
All right.
He's not able to do all those fine points. So
we got to take a break here. We'll be back with Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios in the Morning in just a second. Stand by.
A judge in Nevada said that casinos had more rights than churches do.
The culture war rages in America.
We have to be very, very suspicious of this transition in our society that's being forced on us by movements like Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
It's a threat to our families, a threat to our future as a nation.
And so what we see happening in our society is the empowerment of the spiritual darkness that will allow the slaughter of children.
Hosted by Walker Wildman, the upcoming AFA at Home virtual town hall brings vital insight from defenders of the faith, Dr. Richard Land, Star Parker, Abraham Hamilton III, Sandy Rios, the Benham Brothers, and Tim Barton. AFA at Home streams live Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. Central at afaaction.net. Register for free at afaaction.net.
This is a spiritual battle, and we all are required to toe the line and take a stand.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than eight decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as one Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. A fourth grader was suspended from school because he had a BB gun in his room during an online class. K. Maury Harrison is a student at Woodmere Elementary School in Louisiana. The teacher said it was a full-sized rifle. It was, in fact, a BB gun. The school district argues that during online classes, the child's bedroom becomes school property. They were originally going to expel the child, but ultimately he was suspended 2 weeks. Home suspension. You really can't make this stuff up, folks. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry says the school violated multiple state and federal laws, called it government overreach. The Attorney General says it's absurd to think a student's home becomes school property because of a Zoom class. Not to mention that a full-grown adult teacher can't tell the difference between a rifle and a BB gun. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back. As I say, it's the morning after the first presidential debate of the 2020 election. Some people are even wondering if there's going to be another two after this. It's planned. But I'm not sure, given some of the reaction that we are getting from last night's first debate. Sandy, we're joined by Sandy on Sandy Rios in the Morning, who's doing some business in the nation's capital today. Hey, listen, you mentioned about the exchange with regards to Hunter Biden. Wanted to play a little bit of that for our audience and then get your reaction. It's cut number 7.
China ate your lunch, Joe, and no wonder your son goes in and he takes out... He takes out billions of dollars to manage. He makes millions of dollars. And also,
simply
while we're at
true.
It, why is it, just out of curiosity, The mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it? What did he do with Burisma to deserve $183,000?
None of that is true. Let him answer.
None of that is true.
Oh, really? He didn't give
$3.5 million? Mr. President, please.
Totally discredit it. Totally discredit it. And by the way,
He didn't get $3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got $3.5 million.
That is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr. President? It's an open discussion. Please,
it's a fact.
All right, there you have it. Joe Biden saying none of it is true. Who said it wasn't true, Sandy? Where was it proven that it wasn't true?
No, no one has said it isn't true. In fact, there's tremendous concern about this. We've been hearing about this for really such a very long time, and finally, documents are being released. The Senate has actually conducted this review. Ron Johnson is leading the charge on that, and he's alarmed by what he's seen. And so are others. And that goes back to the whole issue also of Ukraine, where Hunter Biden was put on the board of this energy company, Burisma, making about $100,000 a month. And Hunter's, of course, his background was he has a terrible drug habit. He was kicked out of the military for cocaine use. He has a long string of being arrested for hiring prostitutes. In fact, some of the money that he received overseas was spent on Russian prostitutes and other countries. And the problem is, of course, among all the other problems, is that Hunter did this while traveling. Look, he made these connections while traveling with his father, the vice president of the United States. Traveling with him, he made these connections. Hunter, who's never, as far as we know, had a substantial job, has become extremely wealthy, apparently through his father's connections. This is just a horrible thing. And then also you get to then that's what President Trump was trying to say, and Chris Wallace was trying to stop him, and Joe Biden was saying isn't true. And so the last part of this that I want to point out is that Joe Biden is on tape. I've played it on the show, I don't know, maybe 10 times. Where Joe Biden is bragging, boasting about threatening Ukraine if they do not fire one of their investigators who's investigating Burisma, the company his son is taking $100,000 a month from as a so-called consultant when he knows nothing about energy. Joe Biden is boasting publicly that he threatened the president of Ukraine that Joe Biden would withhold aid if they did not fire this investigator. It is such a scandal. And yet when President Trump tried to mention that last night, Chris shut him down again.
Yeah.
Fred, do you remember any time during the night last night when Chris spoke sharply to Joe Biden? Did he ever rebuke him or say, be quiet? Or did he ever do that
No.
If he did, I missed that.
No, he didn't. And the only point where I thought Chris Wallace displayed some equal balance is when he asked Biden why the former vice president hasn't called mayors or governors in these cities where we've seen so much violence to stop the violence. I thought that was the one salient question from Wallace to Biden. Have a listen to this. Cut 8.
Mr. Vice President, you say that people who commit crimes should be held accountable. The question I have, though, is as the Democratic nominee, and earlier tonight you said that you are the Democratic Party right now, have you ever called the Democratic mayor of Portland or the Democratic governor of Oregon and said, hey, you got to stop this, bring in the National Guard, do whatever it takes, but you'd stop the days and months of violence in Portland?
I don't hold public office now. I am a former vice president. I've made it clear in my public statements that the violence should be prosecuted. It should be prosecuted. And anyone who commits it
should
be prosecuted.
But you've never called for the people, the leader, excuse me, sir. You have never called for the leaders in Portland and in Oregon to call and bring in the National Guard and knock off 100 days of riots.
They can, in fact, take care of it if he just stay out of the way.
So that was his response. I didn't make any phone calls to my Democrat friends who run these cities. Come on, he says, I'm not in office right now.
He had also said, you know, earlier in the debate, when President Trump challenged him on the lies he was telling, really, about his positions on the Green New Deal, his positions on the Obamacare plan and what he planned to do, the president was challenging him. Oh, no, that's not true. And he finally said, Joe Biden said, I am the Democratic Party.
Yes.
President Trump was saying the left is going to, they're going to run you around by the nose, Joe. And he said, no, I am the Democratic Party. Well, if he is the Democratic Party and his positions are what represents them, then why can't he pick up the phone and call these mayors? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And so that was not a good moment for him. The problem is, Fred, that people don't know when they're watching. They cannot. This is where the old fact-checking, which the left loves. Mm. Only you notice they didn't use it last night.
Yes.
Might have been useful.
Mm-hmm.
but when a person is just so filled with lies, it's very hard to discern. If people are not watching the news, how can they possibly know? So that was part of a deception last night that played poorly for the president. Could I just say one last thing, and then I probably should go here. There is so much at stake in this election, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
It is a battle, and it is a fight. And I just want to encourage people not to be put off by things that, by a lack of niceness. Shall I say that?
Sure.
A lack of niceness. This is a fight to the death, and it will have such tremendous effect on your lives, your children's lives, this country's future. Do not forget that. And even if you think President Trump was kind of like icky, some of the things he said, or the fact that he would not be quiet when Chris asked him to be quiet, that is the least of our worries. Keep your perspective, keep your head on, and let's just steady, you know, one foot at a time, and we're all in this. We're all fighting this battle, so we just got to keep up the fight. Do not get discouraged. It's full steam ahead.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the introduction to your show each day, sometimes we can't be nice all the time. We have to be confrontational, Sandy. That's where
exactly.
We're.
I mean, yeah. That's how Jesus is that. I mean, he's not going to be nice when he comes on that white horse with a sword in his mouth.
Amen.
And some of you better not show up if that's going to offend you, because he's going to be, the blood of some people are going to be on his robes. We know that from Scripture.
Amen.
It's going to be a bloody battle. So stop, you know, pointing out the things that are insignificant. Think about what really does matter here.
Sandy, you make a great guest on your program, you know.
Thank you, Fred. Well, you make a big, great host for my program.
All right, you take care of yourself and have good meetings today.
Okay, thanks, Fred. Thank you so much.
Okay,
talk to you soon.
All right, God bless. Yeah, there was so many points last night where, if you're watching this, you're almost like, come on, Chris Wallace, you should be challenging. You should be challenging the vice president a bit more. You don't have any problems in challenging President Trump, but what about what Biden is saying? And one of those moments, folks, is when Wallace and Biden and Trump are talking about packing the court. Now, if you haven't heard that phrase yet, this is something that Democrats have threatened to do. They're upset that they're going to be hearing starting pretty soon for the president's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett to the United States Supreme Court. And some Democrats are saying, we'll pack the court. And what that means is, if they get power, they'll add a whole bunch more justices to the United States Supreme Court who will be left-leaners in their interpretation of the Constitution. So I want you to listen to this exchange last night very carefully, because Joe Biden refused. He absolutely refused to say what he's to condemn anybody in the Democratic Party for suggesting packing the court. It's cut number three.
If Senate Republicans go ahead and confirm Justice Barrett, there has been talk about ending the filibuster or even packing the court, adding to the nine justices there. You call this a distraction by the president, but in fact, it wasn't brought up by the president. It was brought up by some of your Democratic colleagues in the Congress. So my question to you is, you have refused in the past to talk about it. Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take on that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
Make
court?
Sure you, in fact, let people know
your
senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the
you
question
want to put
is,
a lot of
the
new
question
Supreme Court justices, radical left.
Will you
who
shut
is
up,
on,
man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
Yeah. Now, that's the other matter that the President Trump was raising there. Joe Biden is refusing to release his list of who he would nominate to the United States Supreme Court. Now, we all know the reason for that, because he would nominate people to the far, far, far left. That's why he refused to do it. And he refused to deny that he would go along with the idea of packing the court. Now, we only have a few minutes left. I want to go to our phones in just a second. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And this is going to be cut number six, Devin, when we get into it here. One of the more interesting things last night, and the question was the accepting of the election results. Now, that has become a debate. The president has expressed concern about all the mail-in ballots being sent out, millions of them, about the delays in counting those. So I want you to have a listen. Biden says he will accept the election results and support the outcome. Trump talks about whether there's talk about a peaceful transition, because he was challenged, the president was, would he go along with a peaceful transition? So listen to this exchange last night, cut number six.
The fact is, I will accept it, and he will too. You know why? Because once the winner is declared, after all the ballots are counted, all the votes are counted, that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it. And if it's me, in fact, fine. If it's not me, I'll support the outcome. And I'll be a president not just for the Democrats. I'll be a president for Democrats and Republicans.
And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our first lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that, because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it, too. So don't tell me about a free transition.
All right. I thought that was an incredible response by the president. So President Trump is being challenged, will you accept the results of the election? And he outlined two problems last night, the president did. Number one, the problem of and the potential for great fraud because of all the absentee ballots being sent out, whether people are requesting them or not. The president, in another exchange last night, brought up the fact that several incidents, New Jersey, other jurisdictions now, where ballots have been found in garbage cans, ballots that said from military people voting for Trump, been found in garbage cans. Now, the second part is this. What the president was doing last night is calling Joe Biden out on the hypocrisy of saying, okay, we'll accept whatever the election results were. Joe Biden was part of the resistance back in 2016. We know that now from transcripts, documents that are finally being released, that they plotted to disrupt President Trump, the incoming administration. The reference that the president just made here to the Logan Act, that was in reference to, we now know from transcripts of conversations back there in the fall of 2016, where the Obama administration, the Justice Department, was plotting a plan to disrupt the incoming administration of Donald Trump. The Logan Act, something that's never been used, has something to do with an American official using foreign agents to disrupt things in the United States. It's not used. But remember the reference to Michael Flynn there. Michael Flynn only talked to the Russians after the election, and that is perfectly acceptable. But the picture that we have is the former vice president, while they were still in office before the inauguration took place in January 2017, Joe Biden sitting with Obama in the Oval Office talking about how can we disrupt things. And of course, there's been information that has come out in recent days that Hillary Clinton was behind all of this to distract attention away from her email server. I tell you what, you begin to understand when you really look at the level of corruption within the Obama administration up to and including almost to Inauguration Day when the president came in, and then afterwards of trying to disrupt this president. You understand why President Trump gets a little upset. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888 888- 888-589-8840. Your reaction to the debate last night and what you're hearing. 888-589-8840. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. We're back right after the break.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
AFA is pleased with President Trump's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett as our next Supreme Court Justice. Judge Barrett opposes judicial activism, and she's a well-respected woman of faith. Liberal opposition to this nominee by anti-religious bigots will be intense. Now's the time to contact your senators and urge them to stand strong against the liberal tsunami of hate aimed at Judge Barrett. Email or call and urge your senators to confirm Amy Coney Barrett. Learn more at AFA.net.
For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to the CDC and the Guttmacher Institute, the number one reason women choose abortion is they're not ready for a child. The number two reason, they can't afford a baby. Number three, they don't want any more children. Number four, they don't want to be a single mother. Number five, not mature enough to raise a child. Number six, a baby would interfere with their education or career. Those reasons represent 95% of all abortions. Risk to the mother's physical health represent less than 4% of all abortions. And conception resulting from rape and incest represent less than 1% of all abortions. Abortion is used as birth control.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We all recognize that America's only hope is a massive spiritual awakening, a nationwide return to God. He's told us that if we who are called by His name will humble ourselves and pray, confess our sins, and turn from our wicked ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land, a land which is in desperate need of healing. The massive 400,000-person prayer and praise event that occurred on the National Mall last weekend was the first moment, I believe, in a long-overdue spiritual awakening in America. As the word was proclaimed, as praise and prayer ascended to the throne of God, something began to shake and quake in the heavens. The people of God started pushing back against the forces of darkness, and God will keep His promise to us to turn to us and heal our land. The awakening has begun.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Particularly bitter exchanges in last night's fractious presidential debate involved Donald Trump's repeated charges that former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was massively enriched by Ukrainian, Russian, and Chinese figures while his father was making policy concerning their vital interests. The vice president adamantly and repeatedly denied those, quote, discredited, unquote, allegations. Why should we care? Here's one reason. Hunter Biden got $1.5 billion to invest for China after his father helped engineer a bilateral agreement that gave it preferential access to our capital markets. China used that access to garner $3 trillion from U.S. investors, money it used to become a vastly greater threat. And Beijing is seeking even more American investments for the same purpose now. We need to know how the next president will address the danger posed by the CCP and some capitalists' willingness to prosper by helping it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the morning after the great debate. The brawl is being described in a lot of different ways this morning. But, you know, we just had Sandy on as a guest on our program this morning. By the way, it's Fred sitting in for Sandy today. You know, she's exactly right. We are living in tumultuous times. And you may have wished that the president responded in different ways last night, wasn't quite as confrontational. But that's the day and age in which we live, folks. And there are examples in Scripture where people had to be confrontational sometimes. And I guess we would call it get in people's faces. And I think we're in those times. There used to be a time when the differences between the two parties might be a 1% tax increase, a 1% tax decrease, those kinds of things. But those days are gone, folks. We're talking about a value system, a desire by the Democrats and their allies to radically change the value system in this country. They've already been at work on that. And I think people, Christians, have to understand that. And sometimes that is missing in the discussion. All right. Speaking of discussion, let's go have a chat with our folks who are listening this morning. And first to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I want to thank you all and Sandy and yourself for doing the show. I couldn't sit and watch that whole thing. But I'm going to tell you that if people don't see now that Trump is the only choice we have, then there's not only something wrong with them, they really need to pray about their guidance. They need some Holy Ghost guidance. Biden, not only did he lie, I believe the Christians are going to fact check him as the days go by, and we're going to see lots more that he lied about. And who wants that in office? The Bible tells us that there would come a vile man who would be given, as Daniel says, the rulership, and he will be the Antichrist. We know it's probably not going to be either of these, but definitely Biden shows the spirit of Antichrist to me. And I'm an African-American saying it, and I'm the one thing I am grateful for is that they did not mention vaccines, because most Christians don't want to be forced to take it, and nobody has stood up and said that there would not be a mandate that we all must take it in order to work or eat. So I'm very thankful for that. But you have a wonderful day, and thank you again, Sandy, and yourself, Mr. Jackson, for doing the show.
All right, Shirley, thank you so much. All right, to Texas. And Iris, I hear you're a first-time caller.
Yes, and I've listened to Sandy since she's been on, and it's fabulous, and I love you, Fred. I hear you a lot on today's news, and I brag about you all the time. You're excellent.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your honest reporting, and you do a great job with your news team. But a couple of questions. One is, why do you think that why the Trump team allowed Chris Wallace to commentate or be the mediator when he was so obviously biased? Do you think that they didn't have a choice on that?
Yeah, I don't think there was a choice. There is a debate commission that's supposedly bipartisan that sets these debates up. But I will tell you, I'm not sure who is moderating the next two presidential debates, if indeed they occur. Chris Wallace, number one, Chris Wallace is a liberal. Like his daddy, Mike Wallace from CBS. He is a liberal. People have to understand, not everybody works for Fox News is conservative, not by any stretch.
Right.
Chris Wallace is a liberal. But I think what happened was he was put forward. He has the respect of Fox News. And perhaps the scenario was this commission said, okay, Fox News, you're going to moderate the first one. Who are you putting up? And it was Chris Wallace. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened there. But I think what you saw on display last night, Iris, was Chris Wallace showing his bias. He was hard on Trump. The fact that he brought up, and we talked about this a few moments ago, the fact that he brought up and challenged President Trump to condemn what Chris Wallace called right wingers, white supremacists, whatever the case may be, and almost Chris Wallace almost equating them with the people who are doing the real violence at these protests, the Black Lives Matter organization, Antifa, etc., etc. I tell you what. The fact that Chris Wallace brought that up last night, instead of saying to former Vice President Biden, hey, will you condemn Antifa? Will you condemn the Black Lives Matter organization? By the way, our audience may not know, We played a clip yesterday of Kamala Harris, who is the woman who wants to be vice president with Joe Biden. We played a clip on today's issues yesterday, and I should have brought this into the program this morning, where she praised the leadership of Black Lives Matter. She called them brilliant. Now, these Black Lives Matter leaders are Marxist-Leninist, self-confessed Marxist-Leninist. The Constitution of Black Lives Matter, and we're talking about the organization, called for the destruction of the nuclear, i.e. biblical family, a mom and a dad raising kids. They call for the end of that. By the way, Black Lives Matter have taken that off their website. So why didn't Chris Wallace bring this up? Why didn't Chris Wallace, if he wanted to be fair, say to Joe Biden, hey, your running mate, Kamala Harris, said this about Black Lives Matter. Do you agree with her assessment of the Black Lives Matter leadership being brilliant? That's the kind of question Chris Wallace should have asked last night, but it wasn't forthcoming. Iris, we appreciate your phone call.
Thank you. And one other thing.
Sure.
Who won the debate? Has there been any polls that it made any difference as far as who's leading right now?
Yeah, well, I here's my guess on this. If it's the same polling agencies that we've seen doing polling recently, they will probably say that Joe Biden won it. But you know what? The reality is this. I think if you are a person who has supported Donald Trump, you may not have been happy with some of the phraseology he used last night, but you will stick with Donald Trump. The question always, Iris, is those so-called independents out there, where are they with this? And we're just not sure about that this morning. But Iris, good to talk to you, and glad you made it through on the phone this morning. All right, let's try to get in a few more calls here, and let's go to Texas and Shelley. Good morning, Shelley.
I was calling to point out the incredible, consistent disrespect that Chris Wallace and Joe Biden showed to our president, the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it starting to happen as a teacher in the classroom when Bill Clinton was going through his impeachment, that the children watched the disrespect that Clinton had for the
audience. Yeah. Shelley, I'm going to have to let you go because your call is breaking up. Apologize for that, but I'm not sure if it's just you're moving or whatever the case may be. But we'll have to move on to another caller. Let's stay in Texas, though, and talk to Sandy. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I did watch the whole thing. It was pretty sad, I thought.
Mm.
But the thing that got to me was how Biden was hitting towards the people. He would point at the camera. He had this soft look, you know, I'm concerned about you. That could really fool a lot of people.
Yes.
That's what bothers me. And I wish President Trump had been a little more respectful maybe and talked to the people instead of trying to defend himself. But I'm a Trump person, and I'll stay a Trump person. And that's my comment.
No, Sandy, it's a good comment, and I understand it. It was said going into the debate. Remember, Joe Biden has been around for a long time and has, some pointed out even before last night's debate, he is an experienced debater. 47 years he's been playing the political game. He's been involved in many, many debates. So he was comfortable on that stage. And that's why, you know, his, what they call his handlers, said, okay, here's what to do. We know that they probably told Joe Biden, President Trump is going to come out swinging. But here's what you do. As often as possible, you face the camera and be that nice, grandfatherly-like figure and say these words. But the reality is this, that is just a mask for the very radical agenda that the Democrats and Joe Biden have. But it was very clever. A lot of people emotionally will buy into that kind of thing. But as we always say, you got to dig down. You got to dig down past that little nice facade and really look at. I think it was Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas said a few weeks ago, and I keep going back to this, listen to what Biden and the Democrats say they plan to do in this country. Listen carefully. Listen carefully about the details of the Green New Deal that they're buying into and what that will mean for the country. Understand, Joe Biden last night, he should have been challenged on this, talked about if he gets elected, he's going to create millions of jobs. But you know how he's going to do this. They're going to spend, it's going to be about $4 trillion in new taxes. So yes, they may create jobs, but it's going to be at the expense of taxpayers. It means jobs might be created, but you'll be taking home less pay. So you've got to dig down and got to understand what the real agenda is here. All right, to Lee in Texas. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yes, last night I wanted to speak about Joe Biden said he was the face of the Democrat Party, but I want you to know that Donald Trump last night was able to pull out more in 90 minutes than any reporter could during the time of Joe Biden's presidency as he became a candidate for the presidency. Mm-hmm. Last night I thought it was really good because I know that Donald Trump is our president, but last night he was acting as a reporter. He was interrogating Joe Biden. At times you could see that Joe Biden was under the light. It looked like Donald Trump had him in the spot as a president being a law officer and Joe Biden being the crook. But I believe through the whole night, there was more information pulled out of Joe Biden than any other reporter could have done.
That is an incredible observation, Lee, that Trump was acting as a reporter, because we know that Joe Biden has had a few of these news conferences with very friendly reporters asking him how he feels about this and how he feels about that. That is a tremendously good observation, Lee, that the president was doing the job of what the mainstream media should be doing with Joe Biden. Boy, I thank you for that. I think we got time for one more, do we, Devin? Try to get one more call in. Let's go to Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just was so frustrated during the entire debate. I could not believe how utterly disrespectful Chris Wallace was to the president and how much he cut him off and interrupted him. Mm. Yes, it is true. I was very frustrated with the amount of interruption that President Trump did. But like Sandy said, and like the previous caller said, there were things that the media and the left and the Democratic Party have literally helped sweep under the rug over and over and over again. They will not address the truth of the Biden family corruption. They will not address the truth of Clinton and Obama and what they did and how they literally did attempt to plan a coup to overthrow this president, how they were from the get-go trying to take down his presidency and stop him from keeping this country free, from giving us the ability to worship God as we see fit. This is a president that fights against human trafficking. He fights for the right of the unborn. He fights for our faith. And if you're a believer and you don't understand that, it's like my friend from Tennessee said, you need to get a hold of the Holy Ghost because something's wrong with you.
All right. Lori, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Well, last night was the first of the debates. As I say, I'm not sure if there are going to be any more presidential debates, but there is a debate next Wednesday evening, a week from today. The Vice President Pence, will go head-to-head with Kamala Harris. Not sure who's moderating that one. I think it'll be a little bit different in tone just because of the personality of Vice President Pence. But still, it's going to be very, very interesting how that one goes. Because as a lot of people say, Kamala Harris, she is just going to be one heartbeat from the presidency should Biden win. And we need to be listening. All right. Great to be with you. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.